We return to our series on 1 John, so this morning we'll focus on 1 John chapter 3, so you could turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 through 18, we will read. First John chapter 3, verse 9 through 18. The word of the Lord never returns to him void. So let us listen as he wants us to listen attentively, praying that not only will it enter our hearts, but also our lives be known by our obedience to God's word. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. So far the reading of God's word. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we resume the preaching of God's word from 1 John, you will recall that in the last part we talked about what it means to be born of God, but the Holy Spirit reminded us also how serious sin is and the danger of habitual sins that we don't repent of. So we have very clearly through that also see our need for a Savior. And you will also remember that John, in the process of making that clear to us, that he used the effect of contrasts to describe the life of the Christian even better. We know that we know God, you remember, when we do righteousness instead of continuing to sin. That first contrast between righteousness and sin. And now John continues to the second contrast, namely that of love and hate. Love on the one side, hate on the other side. And he's very blunt when he uses this comparison. And we'll see that in a little while. He says, just as those who belong to God will do righteousness, they will also love each other. In other words, we can add now to another mark we will know that we know a Christian by is love. And I mean, we have already discussed that in chapter 2, where that was very clear. You love God, you will love God's people. Now he's, remember I also said it's like circles that he discusses, and then he goes to a wider circle. Now he's coming back on that matter once again. So he repeats himself. But I believe that the Bible repeats because we forget so easily, right? So we need to hear more and more. And he fleshed it out for us in a wonderful way. So another mark of a Christian is love. Now you might say, but many people who are not believers also love. And their love also seems genuine, and that might be so. Because just as we know unbelieving people love, we also know unbelieving people with, say for instance, great talents. Unbelievers also live, also breathe. And the scripture says very clearly that he let it rain on the believers and the unbelievers. Yet even though they might love, They still don't know the true love of God that only the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. That is the privilege of God's children. And every time that the Bible speaks of this love, He speaks of a specific kind of love. He uses a Greek word that is agape. That is the word that he uses to describe this special love that God has for us and that people of God's people share, not only with God, but eventually also with one another. The world, if you think about it, has such twisted ideas of what love really is. And in the time and the culture that we live, it is important that you and I understand exactly what the Holy Spirit speaks of here when He points us to love. The Apostle John contrasts love with hate and points out that hate, and that's why I say he's very blunt. He said hate is of the devil and that it proves a relationship with the evil one. And that's something that even you and I must always remember when that feelings of hatred comes into our hearts. The first thing I want you to see is that this was a very well-known command. This was not a new idea from John. He says they have heard that from the beginning. He stated it in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, and again in 2 John verse 5 and 6. He says it's nothing new. They heard it from the beginning of Jesus' teaching. In John chapter 13, for instance, verse 34 and 35, Jesus Himself said it was no new commandment. And then He continues to say, by this all men will know that you are My disciples if you have love for one another. And He emphasized it again in John chapter 15, verse 12, when He says, love one another. And why was it not new? Remember, we talked about that. It was not new because it was already taught in the Old Testament. And since John refers to Cain, he probably was thinking back to the beginning of the Bible. Fact is, this was a well-known commandment. But I think the second thing that we also see is that it was a very serious command. First, Jesus shows us that it is a serious matter. In John 13 and 14, He says, by this, all men, I just said, will know that you are My disciples if you have love for one another. So, the existence of life in our lives is there to illustrate something to the world around us. It is definitely a serious matter when Jesus connects that presence of love in our lives to that reality of being His disciples. Take love away, then discipleship of Jesus Christ comes in jeopardy. So, think just for a minute again what Jesus says here. He says, if you do not love, you are not My disciples. So we as the church, we as the body of Christ, the ones who belong to Him, are called to love each other. And the Apostle John, not only Jesus, but John on following the example of Jesus and following Jesus' teaching also shows us how serious a matter it is to love. In verse 13, he says, he who does not love abides in death. That is serious words. If you do not love, you are spiritually dead. If you do not love the way God loves, you are spiritually dead. Put it differently, the one who is spiritually dead doesn't and will not love. He cannot love and doesn't truly know what real love is. He might have the signs, as we said in the beginning. Unbelievers love too, but they do not have this specific love that God wants us not only to have, but He comes and pours it out into our hearts. He continues to say that the one who hates, and then he contrasts the contrast of love, he says, is a murderer. He's not saying only that he is dead, but he says he's a murderer. And he does not have eternal life in him. Now again, that sounds like a pretty big jump to make, you might say. From hate to murder to not having eternal life. Wow. But the good thing is that God knows our hearts. You see, so often we want to justify ourselves so quickly with certain sins, or we want to minimize our sins so easily. Jesus not only knows our hearts, but He also graciously exposes our hearts that you and I could know ourselves. And that is so important if we desire forgiveness of our sins. Because how can we come and bring our sins before the Lord if we don't know our own hearts, if we do not admit what is going on in our hearts? What did Jesus say about the seventh commandment when He forbids adultery? He said, "But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." And that same in that same teaching, Jesus applied that same principle also to the sixth commandment, which forbids murder. He said, "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder. And whoever commit murder shall be liable to the court.'" Then He continued and said, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, 'You fool,' shall be guilty to go into the fiery hell." We must understand that not only the real act, but even the roots thereof are sin. And this is a very important principle that we also need to remember in this sexual confusion that we have these days in our times. Even the roots of those sins or of those acts are also sin in the eyes of God. The Lord exposes and leads us to know even the deepest roots of those actions lurk sometimes in our hearts. That's where it starts. It starts in a feeling. It starts in a thought. And those feelings are sin, just as the real act is sin. In the Gospel of Mark, we read the words of Jesus that He said in Mark 7:21-23, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness." You see, John is only teaching what Jesus was teaching to them. If you don't love, in other words, if you hate, you are a murderer. And no murderer. In other words, if you continue in this sin, you will not have eternal life. Eternal life is not abiding in Him. And then He uses, that's the next point, He uses this negative illustration, if I could put it that way, to make His point very clearly. He refers to Cain and says, "Do not follow the example of Cain." And we all know what he did. They both brought their sacrifices to the Lord, and the Lord accepted only the sacrifice of Abel and not that of Cain. And the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, 4 says, "By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous." And Cain could not handle it. And in his jealousy and his rage, he killed his brother. He was supposed to love, but he hated. Because his brother's deeds, that's how it's described here, were righteous. And the deeds of Cain was evil. So why not following his example? Why not following the example of Cain? Because he was of the evil one. It shows in his spiritual lineage. We will see that a little later. He brutally murdered his brother, so his deeds were evil. It directed me to the words of Jesus when he said in John 3:19, "And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were" what? "Their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." And that is what Cain did in the beginning. And John says, he is of the evil one. Once again, the apostle does not beat around the bush here. In chapter 3, verse 8, he already said, the one who practices sin is of the devil. And now he just continues to illustrate it in the life of Cain. He hated. He deliberately decided not to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Thus he is of the evil one. And so Cain did what the rest of his seed, the unbelieving world, because that's what it was, right? The unbelieving world was the seed of Cain. He did what they exactly did, or they did what he exactly had done. They continue to do that, namely, to stand up against what is right, to stand up against God's people, because they hate us. And that is why John says, do not be surprised if the world hates you. So once again, John only repeats what his master, Jesus, taught him. Again, John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. And in John 17:14, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Remember those who left the church in the time of John. They were certainly continuing to be hostile and continued their attacks on the teaching of the gospel of John. But just like Cain, they are a representation of the hostile, unbelieving world who stand up against and hate the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you often taken by surprise when you see or experience the hatred of the world against what you stand for and against what you believe? I am sometimes, but I don't know why. Because we should not be surprised by it. They hated Jesus. Thus they will hate us. And if they hated Jesus, why on earth do we try to be popular in the eyes of the world as a church? The church always must be different than the world. That's what we are called to do. We are, as we heard this morning, called out, elected out of the world to be God's people. Why do we try to change our ways so often? And we see it all around us. Whether it be our lifestyle or ways of worship that you find these days in churches, in order to please the sinful senses of men and women who are not willing to fully commit themselves to the Word of God. We always must keep our eyes focused on God's Word. I think grace has always done that. And I will pray that we will continue to do so. Our passage once again reminds us of the amazing love of our God. The love that made it possible for us to become and to be children of the living and almighty God. Now John says in verse 14, we know that we have passed over from death into life. We love because of the love you and I have received. The love that brought us who were dead in our sin to life. The love that led us to know the living God and to brought us from the kingdom of death into the kingdom of life. And that is what the apostle ends with in this passage when he used a positive illustration now. A positive illustration to make us understand how blessed we are. But also to know what our responsibility is as a child of the living God. He's not saying you must do these things in order to become a Christian. No salvation by works. No, we who already live in the kingdom of God, we who live under the kingship of Jesus, we and our lives will be marked by this special love. So if you want to know that you live in a loving relationship with the living God, your life will be marked by the doing of righteousness, but also by the loving of your brother. So, after Cain and his selfishness and envy, the example that we have is Jesus Christ Himself. He who came and gave Himself to us selfless and died a sacrificial death for all who belong to Him. It was so clearly illustrated to us. And so often these days people ask for signs whether God loved them or not. He has already given us that sign of His love. 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died on a cross, when He laid down His life for us, when He died in our place, as it will be pictured to us again this morning in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, where He sacrificed Himself for us, where He denied His own interests and sought the will of God, that we could live through His death. And it seems that every time the Bible speaks of the love of God, it always speaks about it in the context of the cross of our Savior. Listen to Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And later in John's epistle, he says, this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And that He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Was the suffering of Jesus and His death an example for us to follow? Surely it was. Thankfully, you and I don't have to hang on a cross. But still, John says in verse 16, He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Perhaps he thought about that and said, that's easier said than done. How do I lay down my life for my brothers? As he continues in more general terms in the next verses, he urges us not to close our hearts when we know about someone that is in need. It's easy to say, go and be warm. James has said that, right? He says, this is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit the orphans and widows in their distress. And also in chapter 2:15, if a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, be filled, and yet do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Thus John also concludes, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We do not literally die for others. So how do I lay down my life for others? The life of Jesus, remember, was fully sacrificial. He humbled Himself. He gave Himself in our place. He, a king, became a servant. He who needed to be worshipped washed the feet of His disciples when they beat Him He did not answer with revenge. And that is so contra culture. Today, our culture just teaches the opposite. It's all about self-maintaining and self-satisfaction. You first, and then someone else. No one tells you what to do. If your marriage does not satisfy you, just move on and try another spouse. If you are unhappy, destroy those around you. Your interests are first. Take care of yourself first, even when others have to suffer because of your selfish behavior. I think you get the picture. That's what our culture says. But this is not what Jesus taught us. This is not the love the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. Which brings me to my final remark. Do you remember? And I hope you will this morning as we are reminded of that again through the Lord's Supper. How blessed you are. How blessed we are to be made children of the living God. A God who has come and shown us what true love is. But also remember that Jesus is not just an example to us. We who live in Him share in that same love. He works that love in us through His Word and through His Spirit more and more. The same love that was in His heart is now poured out also in our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit more and more. But that means we need to look away from ourselves and keep our eyes on what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Are we able to expose and show this love in and of ourselves? Not really. Only when we abide in Jesus. And the more we do that, the more our selfishness disappears, the more our desires to put ourselves to the front, to put ourselves on a throne, then it starts crumbling. And the desire to serve, the desire to elevate others, the desire to take care of their needs will be priority. Perhaps you feel today that I've made mistakes. I have not loved well. Bring it then at the feet of Jesus. Lay it at His feet. Repent of those sins. And do better to the glory of the Lord the next time. This love, this agape love, is the kind of love that continues to unite husband and wife, that continues to build up families and church families. Let us love each other with this love. Because just now, He will remind us in a very tangible way, through the sacrament, how much He loves us. Amen. Let us pray.